It's 10 o'clock. Good morning and welcome to Saturday Edition with Carrie Dowd. The stories, issues, and people that influence the community. Saturday Edition on an American original, AM 1410 WLSH. Here's Carrie Dowd.
And good morning. Welcome to another Saturday Edition. Today is November 5th. 2011. What a difference a week makes. Sunny 34 outside the WLSH studios. If you recall, last Saturday, we were in the midst of a late fall snowstorm, but we have survived, and a gorgeous weekend in store for us today. This morning on the program, it's an action-packed 2 hours. We have the Carbon County Sheriff's candidates in studio this morning. The first hour is going to be with Republican candidate Stephen Armbruster, and the 11 o'clock hour is going to be with the incumbent Democratic candidate Dwight Nothstein. If you would like to ask either candidate a question, you may do so by giving us a call here at Saturday Edition locally, 570-645-3123, or toll free 800-326-9574. So we're gonna get right down into it. Joining me now in studio is Republican candidate Stephen Armbruster. Good morning, Mr. Armbruster.
Good morning, Carrie. Thank you for having me.
It would help if I turned your mic on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you here. Let's start real quick. Why don't you just introduce yourself to us this morning?
Okay, well, my name is Steve Armbruster. I live in Talmansing Township with my family, my wife Tara, and my three children. See, I have a 20-year-old son that's in college, and I also have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old that are in elementary school. I'm a police officer. I work for the Pennsylvania State System of Higher Education, and I've been working there for about 20 years. And I'm running for Carbon County Sheriff.
So are you a native to Carbon County? Did you grow up in the area? Talk about your life leading you to this decision for running for Carbon County Sheriff.
Okay, well, my family on both sides, the Armbruster and the Burns family, they're all from Carbon County. My ancestors immigrated here and settled here. I was born here. I did move out of the county when my dad was away for business for a few years. I grew up in mostly in Northampton County, and I spent a lot of time here. I mean, I've been hunting. I've always, you know, my whole family on both sides is here. So we spend all the weekends here, and, you know, I'm very familiar with the people groups that are here and whatnot. But I did move back about 10 years to Talmansing Township, so I've been here for about 10 years.
And obviously, it is your first love. It is your home county, Carbon County.
Absolutely.
And you are very passionate. You were part of the Lehighton 912 debate that was held about a month ago, and you had quite a bit of passion during your time speaking. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back.
1410 WLSH.
Hi, I'm Gary DeBias, Carbon County District Attorney. On Tuesday, November 8th, voters in Carbon County will have the opportunity to vote for candidates of your choice. I'm asking for your support as I seek re-election to my sixth term of office. I've been a prosecutor in the DA's office since 1980, during which time I have always strived to improve the criminal justice system and make the communities in Carbon County safer. I am also proud to be joined once again this year on the Democratic ticket by Commissioners Charles Getz and William O'Gorick, Controller Bob Crampsey, Recorder of Deeds Emmett McCall, Sheriff Dwight Nothstein, Prothonotary Joanne Behrens, and Coroner Bruce Nalesnik. Together, we've been able to provide constituent service that is reliable, dedicated, and efficient. On November 8th, keep good things happening in Carbon County. Vote for the team that is working together and working for you. The Carbon County Democrats.
Paid for by the Democratic Committee of Carbon County.
Steve Armbruster.
Yes.
Robert Dages. And on May 16th, I was in court in Jim Thorpe, Carbon County Courthouse, for a judicial review pertaining to the nullification of the Bill of Rights, in particular the right to petition your government for redress of grievances. That was checked for, or was disagreed with by the current incumbent commissioners on right to know law. And our Bill of Rights was, our Declaration of Rights and the United States Bill of Rights were trumped by attorney-client privilege. On that day, this is an open-ended question. On that day, Steve Armbruster, I was told that the Sheriff's Department was telling people on the way in the courthouse that my hearing was a private trial and shooing people away. And on that day, May 16th, the day before the primary election. My subpoenas that were quashed on an evidentiary hearing to pursue this issue in higher court, common pleas court, my quashed subpoenas for the commissioners to come to the court and answer questions, they came anyway. That means they didn't have to come, but they came, and they were placed in the defendants, as defendants, in the jury box. My question to you, Steve Armbruster, if that isn't Jim Crow, what is, sir? It's an open-ended question. I'll let you answer it, and unless you want me to stay on the line.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. You're certainly welcome to stay on the line if you want to, and I do understand your point. In years past, there's been, you know, some, our nation has gone through some very rough times, obviously. There was Jim Crow laws. Rosa Parks was forced by was actually arrested by a sheriff deputy for refusing to give up her seat to a white man. So, on a side note, that's another example of an illegal order that should have been disobeyed. And if there would have been a constitutional sheriff present in that county at that time, he would not have arrested Rosa Parks. He would have sat on the bus with her to make sure that her rights were protected. I think that as sheriff, is one of your principal duties and responsibilities is to make sure that the administration of law is not manipulated. I will certainly do that. I have not campaigned on a platform of involving myself with social contracting or, you know, with people that are trying to create a political dynasty. I've used the term good old boys, and in effect, that's what you have. You have a lot of county good old boys that, you know, put their buddies or support their buddies to hold these offices. And what they do is, and I'm not saying this is the case, I don't know the details of your case, but I've heard these things before. What they do is they're really not qualified to hold their jobs in the first place. So how they get to stay in there is they simply do whatever they're told, and they do a lot of their personal interests to stay in office trump the civil rights of the citizens. And if you're telling me, if what you're telling me is true, this is a perfect example of political cronyism, of how the county sheriff would be, you know, just acting as a political crony and trumping the rights of the people to participate in that public hearing, and I certainly would not participate in that.
All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines. Now we've got Debbie from Monroe County joining us on the program. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning.
Good morning. You have a question for Mr. Armbruster.
Well, I have mostly a comment. I have been clicking around on the computer one day and just kind of like quote-unquote accidentally pushed the button and came upon information about Steve Armbruster, and what I read, I was very impressed with what I read about him and about the Oath Keepers and about his candidacy for sheriff in Carbon County. I happen to be a court watcher, and I go to courthouses throughout Pennsylvania, but mostly in the northeastern part of Pennsylvania, and I have witnessed and observed abominations taking place in courthouses. And one such abomination took place in the Carbon County Courthouse on April 23, 2009. And on that day, I, as well as about, I would say about 100 other people, witnessed Sheriff Nostine's deputies assault an innocent man and woman in the hallways upstairs. They pushed the woman up against the wall. First, they dragged her down the hallway. Then they pushed her up against the wall. And they were screaming in her face. Her husband, they took into the DA's office and did an alleged breathalyzer test on him and then declared that he was guilty of public drinking. I have been standing within 3 feet of this couple and engaged in conversation for a couple of hours. There was no drunkenness. There was no disorderly conduct. They were just standing up against the wall like everyone else, engaged in quiet, polite conversation. And this was a conspiracy associated with the death of James Rhodes in order to try to pin the blame on an innocent man. That family is still being persecuted now by the Rhodes family. But the bottom line is, for me, for what I saw that happened in that courthouse was criminal on the part of the sheriff and his deputies and a number of other people who work in the courthouse staff. And as far as I'm concerned, they should all be in prison right now. And I just want to say that Steve Armbruster is a breath of fresh air. And it's he's a person that we need in Carbon County to uphold the rights of the people and to uphold the law. And I'm so incredibly pleased to have learned about his candidacy. And I certainly hope that he wins the election, because we certainly do need a good man who will obey the true law and obey the Constitution of the United States and of Pennsylvania and uphold the rights of the people. We need to get things turned around.
All right, Debbie. Well, thank you so very much. Mr. Armbruster, you have something to say about that?
Well, thank you very much, Debbie, for your question and also for your vote of confidence. I will just say this. I will limit my comments to the sheriff. I'm running against him, and I don't know. You know, I've heard some of these stories before, and I will say I don't know exactly what the facts are, but I will say this. My opponent has made numerous and repeated statements that he will do whatever he's told. And once again, he has never acknowledged his individual responsibility to do what's right and to, you know, separate himself from this social contracting. And I think that that bleeds over into the way the sheriff's department is operated. And you have to understand, you know, there are 25 armed and sworn deputies that work for him, and more than likely they're following his example, and it's a very poor example, and it needs to change.
Right. All right, we're going to ask Mike from Lehighton to stay on the phone lines. We're going to take another quick break. If you have a question or a comment for Steve Armbruster, by all means, 570-645-3123 or toll free 800-326-9574.
Yes, ma'am. I actually had a question and a comment, if I may.
Absolutely. Go for it.
Steve, I was looking at your website, armbrusterforsheriff.com, and I saw that you have a lot of law enforcement instructors, certifications and credentials and things like that. NRA police firearms instructor, defensive tactics instructor. Frankly, there's quite a few of them. Is it safe to say that you could save the taxpayers a lot of money because you could train your own deputies instead of having to pay someone else to train them? I mean, with the economy the way it's going, people are looking at, you know, cutting things and saving money, and then would that be a viable option?
Absolutely, and that's how I intend to use that advanced police technical skill set. I'm actually 43 years old, and I've been a police officer in, you know, one department or another since I was 18. And the last 20 years, I've worked for the state government, where my opponent has never even been to the police academy, and he's never been a police officer. So that skill set I will use to train and certify the departmental personnel in these various skill sets that's necessary for them to perform their duties, and we won't have to hire anyone from the outside to do that. And also, it will be significant because I'll lead the department for the front. I won't have to find someone else to do it for me. You know, I will be the one doing it, and I've done it before. I'm SWAT certified, and the issue, you know, SWAT school is very physically demanding. You have to pass a physical test to get in there, and it involves such things as carrying M4 rifles with full tactical gear on, up flights of stairs and whatnot. So, you know, I, with all due respect, I don't think my opponent's even qualified to even attempt to even apply to those schools. So, yes, I would use that training in ways that would save the taxpayers money and also to run the department more efficiently.
Okay, great. And I just had a comment that was just sort of an observation of mine. You were talking a lot about the Good Old Boys Network, and I've heard that quite a bit. Just a personal observation on my part. You know, as I drive around, I see a whole lot of signs and billboards for the Democrats, Getson, O'Gurek, and even on this radio station, I hear a lot of, you know, seemingly well-produced ads for them. And, you know, being a business owner myself, I understand that those things cost a lot of money. I see a lot of advertising for the Democrats that seemingly costs a lot of money, but I don't see so much for the Republicans. And that, at least from my perspective, gives the appearance of the very Good Old Boys Network you're talking about, because where are these guys getting all this money, basically, is what I'm trying to figure out. So that was just basically a comment, and I want to thank you for answering my question, and thanks to the radio station.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Mike, thank you so much for the phone call. The lines are open. If you have a question for Republican candidate for Carbon County Sheriff Stephen Armbruster, the number locally 570-645-3123. Toll free 800-326-9574. Mr. Armbruster, I was privileged to be a part of the 912 debate in Lehigh and there. And I wanted to ask a question. Actually, somebody had posed this question to me, and we were given only so much time to spend with you as the candidate. Here's something for thought. Do you support expanding police powers for your deputies if you are elected? As an example, should your deputies be allowed to make arrests throughout the county?
Okay. Well, first, Carrie, I want to say I did enjoy the debate, and I enjoyed your questions at the debate there in Jim Thorpe. This is a thorny issue. I guess I'll answer the question this way. There's a lot of politics behind this very issue. There are police departments that are already established here in Carbon County. Okay, I will not use this as a method to ever try and challenge them or take their jobs away from them. If this legislation ever does come through that gives the deputy sheriffs full police powers, I will take a subordinate role to the other officers. I will only use my department, with their permission. Do I support the legislation? Yes, I do. But, like I said, I will take a subordinate role. I will not step on the toes of the FOP or the other police officers. And the way the sheriff should be used is always to provide a service that cannot be provided at a lower cost. And the issue with it's coming out in this campaign is that my opponent has never been a police officer, and some of the statements he's made about doing whatever he's told and whatnot, in my opinion and in the opinion of others that I've spoken to he can't run it. Running a police department, so to say, is an entirely different skill set than this man possesses. I don't think he has the philosophy to back it up. I supervise a shift of five armed and sworn police officers. I've been doing it for years, so I would be able to step into that role. But once again, yes, I support it if it saves the taxpayers money, but only as a very subordinate role and only when necessary. And I just one last thing: I will never ever use my department as a means to generate revenue. I will never issue tickets or citations with the intent of trying to bring revenue into the county. That's wrong. I don't think the people need one more person to issue them a citation. They need basic services, and they need someone who will protect their rights, and that's what I do.
Well, let me take it one step further, because there has been some chatter among the masses that perhaps with the consolidation, call it that, you expand the power to the sheriff's office in conjunction with county government.
Right.
All right. You, in fact, then eliminate municipal precincts, police stations, and you combine forces. You, in fact, work together. Would that be the easiest solution to streamline cost spending?
It very well may be. But what would need to occur is the local police departments, the mayors, the FOP, the people, the citizens of Carbon County would need to meet and discuss those things, and whatever they best determine, I'm ready to do whatever they want. I'm ready to offer a solution. One of the things I would do is, I think if you look at the model that is currently being used, the departmental chart, I think it's too small. I'd like to do some restructuring, and should something like this, should I be given, told I would have to have a plan to implement something like this, I would certainly... what I would do is, there's one chief deputy now. I would like to have two chief deputies, rearrange some things. And the department would be split in two, where one would handle day-to-day activities and operations, and the other would handle the civil side of the department. And if there would be a policing plank added, then I would hire, a local officer who would I would make the third chief deputy, and he would be in charge of that day-to-day. It's not something you can just hand somebody and say, hey, you're a cop now. You got to supervise all these guys out on the street. It's a different skill set. It requires philosophies and training, and it requires supervision. So Mr. Nelson is not the candidate for that.
And the phone lines are open for your questions or comments, 570-645-3123, or toll free 800-326-9574. Mr. Armbruster, again, Tuesday the 8th is election day. If you are elected to take the role of Carbon County Sheriff, how would you ensure courthouse security, and how would you fund any additional changes that would need to be made?
Well, what I would do is I would keep the jobs of the people that perform the courthouse security. I would not try and privatize those jobs, okay? Because I think that the people of Carbon County are much better served to have public employees protecting your courthouse. So I would review all the security procedures. Now, when I have been an armed and sworn deputy sheriff in Lehigh County, where I've done this before, and now at the debate, it was said by my opponent that I was not a sworn deputy, which is very false. I certainly was. I issued warrants. I did court security. I actually supervised prisoners in a work detail program. What I would do is I will review the procedures and I will speak with the judges and certainly the deputies. When I do take office, one of the very first things I want to do is talk to the deputies and find out what's wrong and what can we do better. And I certainly will make improvements, but the function itself will be performed by public employees because they're the most qualified to do that job.
You have an extensive website. Go ahead and give that out real quick.
Okay, my website address is armbruster4sheriff.com.
And it really goes in depth about your philosophy, yeah, about what you are, yeah, about, and the changes you'd like to implement in Carbon County. Do you feel that, again, if you are elected on Tuesday, I mean, some of them are quite drastic from what has been practiced for the past 16 years.
Right. Well, the thing is that you're right. I've ran on a platform of ideas, and the reason why is because ideas are bulletproof, and what we need is ideas. If I'm elected sheriff, and I expect that I will be, I would like to serve two terms and then move on to do something else. I'm still young, and I there's other things. I want to make some changes here in the county, and then I want to do something else.
So you're imposing your own term limits, so to speak.
Exactly, and I think it's wrong to convey to people that you somehow are entitled to this office, and I think that's what's going on. They think I think my opponent really has conveyed that he somehow is entitled to this office. He has not even offered a campaign platform that he's running on. There's nothing there. He's campaigning on nothing. He's running like he's running for homecoming king. And that does absolutely nothing for the people of Carbon County. We need ideas, and we need the ideas rotated. And we need a diversity of candidates. And to do that is, we need to stop electing people that are getting into office by way of this social contracting and their buddies and that sort of thing. Now, one thing I want to say is I met a lot of people when I went door to door, a lot of single mothers, a lot of candidates, or a lot of citizens that have great ideas, that have tried to get county services. And I'll tell you the truth. These are the people that we need to be electing. And I don't see that happening right now. I see what's happening is the expectation is that to get elected, you have to kind of immerse yourself in this network. And it's very, very prejudicial because it's kind of excluding the other people from running. And what I want to do was kind of kick the door open and knock that down, pull that right up by the roots and say, look, I'm running on ideas and I want others to follow me. I want other people to have the best ideas to follow me. Not everyone's going to be able to spend as much time as some of these guys have at some of these events. We can do that after we get in office. I work rotating shifts. I'm a cop. I worked a night shift last night in Kutztown. I was dealing with hundreds of, not thousands of kids at these parties and whatnot. So I have and I'm raising a family too. So it's there are things that, I'll say this. The method of campaigning has been to immerse yourself in this network, and we need to switch that, and we need to campaign on our ideas.
It's quite radical to hear an individual such as yourselves being a local, yeah, okay, to Carbon County, and also a candidate now. I think you raise eyebrows when you talk about this quote-unquote network and this quote-unquote good old boy system. What has the reaction been from the voters out there when you are very blunt in your philosophy?
Right.
You don't hear that. I think you get a lot of lip service from a lot of candidates, and I'm generalizing. Yeah. What makes you stand out so differently? Why do you feel you need to be so blunt?
Because I want to tell the truth. I'm not, my interest, I've said I'm a freedom activist. And what that means is I don't see myself as a politician or one of these, for lack of better terms, just one of these good old boys that just wants to stay in office for 20 years or so. I mean, I want the people to have freedom, okay? And I want in a nonpartisan manner. I want to use this, the office of sheriff, to protect their rights. And we can do that. We don't need any legislation for this to occur. We have a great opportunity to provide, you know, to do this for them. And I look at my history of my ancestors here. I'm a descendant of Irish coal miners who fought to improve deplorable working conditions. Both my grandparents were engineers on Packard and Railroad. And that heritage is our liberty. And I even though some of my years were spent in Northampton County, that is still a part of me. I was raised with that. I was taught those lessons. And I want to take that and use the sheriff's office to pass on liberty to the people. You know, that's our heritage. And that's not the case right now. And you know, I'm not trying to be politically correct. I'm trying to solve a problem. And so that's what this is all about. My ideas may be extreme compared with what's happening now, but in reality, it's simply what the sheriff is supposed to do.
In your own opinion, what is the biggest problem right now that plagues Carbon County?
I think the biggest problem that plagues Carbon County is poverty. There's a lot of very, very poor people here. And also, I think education. I don't think there's a lot of opportunities for people to educate themselves. And that's why when I do create my community service program, I'm going to include educators, the teachers, the local clergy. I have a priest that's my neighbor that wants to be involved, who is a professor in New York City at a Catholic university. I have another neighbor who retired here from Camden, New Jersey, who worked in the mayor's office. So I want to use all these people who have these wonderful skill sets who have been excluded from our political process. I want to use them that when these issues come up, for instance, there was an issue not too long ago. A young female in Weisport had told me her landlord gave her 24 hours to move out of her apartment, and could I help her? Well, yes, we'll help you. You know, and how would I do that? Well, these people that I'm making reference to, they're going to help her to make sure her rights are protected. And so, you know, getting back to that's, I guess what I'm saying is a part of the function of the operation of my department will address that. We're going to educate the people on what their rights are. And we're going to do this in a way that they, you know, it won't cost any money. You know, it won't cost them any money, and it will provide them with a very significant service and a cost.
That's right. All right. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Joining us now is AJ from Jim Thorpe. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Okay.
How's everything going this morning? Steve, this is for you. I just caught you online here or on the air recently. And if everybody can remember, I did run for sheriff a while back. And Steve, I just wanted to tell you something quick here off the top. Remember years ago, like you said, about so long, get in there, get out, maybe do a term or two. We've discovered over the years that there's a terminology for that called institutional comfort zone. People get in there and they kind of get lackadaisy. I know years ago when I ran for that position, my platform was, well, what's wrong with the sheriff, even though he's supposed to be the top law enforcement officer, to sit down at the square in Jim Thorpe or sit somewhere in Carbon County and sit here and there and enforce some of the laws, like down south. Now, I don't know if you touched on this earlier, since I just found out last 15 minutes. But my question, Steve, have you ever been to the upper tiers of Carbon County where we are actually in, such as Tresco and up in Beaver Meadows and that? Because when I did run, people didn't even know we had a sheriff.
Thank you, AJ, for your question, and I know what you've done, and I know what you stand for, and you know, as you know, I support you in everything you do, and I definitely want to incorporate you and your ideas into my office when I do get elected. The door is certainly open to you, and I would very much like you involved. I have been up to those areas, and I also have people up there campaigning for me, and you're very correct. One of the things I was very, very surprised about is, as campaigning, I would say, do you know what the sheriff's responsibilities are? And many, 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 many people would say, oh, we have a sheriff? No, we don't know what he does. And then I'd say, yeah, your sheriff is Dwight. And they'd say, oh, yes, we know him. What does he do? and they don't know. And
is that terrible or what?
It is. It's very offensive. It's very offensive. And the first thing we're going to do, and I'm going to incorporate the people, including yourself, to help me do this, is we're going to educate them, and we're going to say this is the duties of the sheriff's department. We're going to even take it a step further than that, and we're going to be much more progressive. And you know, we're going to go from where we're at now with Mr. Nostein, and we're going to you know, kick it up, and we're going to be very progressive and being out in front and using the department to protect people's rights. And
sure, what is it for? That's what it's for, exactly.
Absolutely, it is exactly what it's for. And like I said, it's in the Declaration of Independence, and it's going to be a great thing. And certainly, the first thing is to educate them, to let them know that when their rights are violated, you call the sheriff's department. And what's happened now, and a lot of this is very offensive, just being an American. A lot of people that have problems, people that are poor, people that are going through court processes or divorces and whatnot. Unfortunately, being that this is a small county, there's a stigma placed on a lot of those things. And when these things happen, instead of the doors to the county office holders opening up and embracing these people and them walking with them to solve these problems, the door is shut. They slam shut. Because
sure.
It doesn't meet their interest to identify with people, okay?
Well, that's the open door policy, as you well know. And if you remember, or if you can recall, since the people really don't think back, the sheriff actually, back in the day, lived in the prison.
Right, right.
He actually lived in there. Yeah. And when I said to them on the first time I ran for the platform about that, they thought, what are you, out of your mind?
Yeah.
Well, why not? Yeah. I mean, that's your job. That's
right.
Your function. Let's do it.
You have to love people. And the way to demonstrate that you love people is that when they need you, even though if it's unpopular, maybe they're going through the toughest time they ever had in their life because of some type of a problem, even though some people might put a stigma on the things they're going through, you have to be there for them anyway. You can't just shut your door. And some of these people have gotten so bad they've had to move out of the county. And
yep, I agree. Listen, I don't want to keep you on all by myself. Maybe there's a couple of callers in there. But, hey, good luck. We'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you, brother. See you soon.
Take care.
Thank you.
And, you know, an hour is never enough time to talk to our candidates. Mr. Armbruster, again, your website is Armbruster, the number 4, sheriff.com. Please look it up. All your information is there.
Yeah, and I just have one last comment.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, during the entire debate, my opponent has refused to acknowledge that he has an individual legal responsibility to refuse to do anything illegal, immoral, or refuse to follow any illegal orders. Now, he's coming on after me. There's no truth detector here. He's not been known for telling the truth. In fact, during one of the debates, he has actually falsely accused a citizen of committing criminal offenses, for which he's had to apologize on TV and in the media. You know, he's in effect ground the Eighth Commandment into the dirt that says, I will not bear false witness against my brother. My question for him, if he now, within 2 days left here to this election, if he changes his answer and says something different than what he said the entire past year, I would like to know, Mr. Nostein, are you lying now or are you lying then?
All right. So again, check out Stephen Armbruster's website, Armbruster, the number 4, sheriff.com. Election day is Tuesday. Polls open at 7. They're open until 8 o'clock at night. Mr. Armbruster, it's been a pleasure to have you here on the program. Thank you so much to all of the callers, and best of luck to you on Tuesday.
Oh, thank you very much, Carrie. I've enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, thank you, and the best to you and your family as well. All right, stay tuned. We do have the Democratic incumbent for Carbon County Sheriff, Dwight Nostein, will be here on the program. Your questions, comments are also welcome. 570-645-3123 or toll-free 800-326-9574. Stay tuned for that weekend AccuWeather forecast that's coming up next on an American Original, AM 1410 WLSH.
Hi, I'm Joanne Behrens, Carbon County Prothonotary, asking for your support on Tuesday, November 8th, as I seek re-election to my third term of office. I have worked in the Prothonotary's office since 1979, holding every position there through the years and assuming the directorship in 2004. Since that time, we have been able to make many improvements in the office, working together with the current administration and my fellow office holders to keep Carbon County moving in the right direction. I am proud to be joined on the ticket with Commissioners Charles Goetz and William O'Gorick, Controller Bob Cramsey, Recorder of Deeds Emmett McCall, Sheriff Dwight Nostein, District Attorney Gary Tobias, and Coroner Bruce Nalesnik. Together, we have been able to provide service that is reliable, dedicated, and efficient. On November 8th, keep good things happening in Carbon County. Vote for the team that is working together and working for you, the Carbon County Democrats.
Paid for by the Democratic Committee of Carbon County. Hi, I'm Mike McCord, Schuylkill County's Register of Wills. My opponent in this race has made a number of baseless claims of wasteful spending, while proposing costly, exorbitant services not part of the responsibility of the Register of Wills office. She's making these claims with no knowledge of the operation of the office or its finances. 4 years ago, I promised to be a full-time Register of Wills. I did my homework and told you I'd use my computer skills and management experience to deliver cost-effective services for you, the taxpayer. I have kept that promise by improving software and systems, resulting in a savings of almost $50,000 a year in manpower and material costs. Measurable, tangible results. I'm proud to say my staff is known throughout the state for their courteous, professional, and confidential service. On November 8th, vote for proven results from promises kept. I'm asking for your vote and support to allow me to continue to serve as your Register of Wills. Vote for Mike McCord for Register of Wills.
Paid for by friends of Mike McCord.
As a fixture in downtown Tamaqua since 1946, Schaefer's Pharmacy goes the extra mile to make people feel better, not only with medicine, but with care. They take the time to answer your questions, giving you peace of mind. Schaefer's offers competitive pricing and participates in most major prescription plans. Prescription transfers are welcome, and they deliver to Tamaqua and hometown. Trust your healthcare to a community-minded independent pharmacy. Schaefer's Pharmacy, Route 309, just south of the Five Points intersection in downtown Tamaqua.
Hello, I'm Attorney Bill Burke, President of the Schuylkill County Bar Association. On Tuesday, November 8th, Judges Palmer Dalvin and Charles Miller's names will appear on the last page or screen of your ballot for retention. They were chosen by the voters to serve as our Schuylkill County Court of Common Pleas judges 10 years ago. They are overwhelmingly supported by the Schuylkill County Bar Association. Their integrity is unquestioned. Judges Miller and Dalvin are conscientious, diligent, hardworking, fair, and impartial. They are supported by Democrats and Republicans. Judges Dalvin and Miller are endorsed by Congressman Tim Holden and State Senator Dave Argle. On November 8th, please vote yes for Judges Miller and Dalvin.
Paid for by the Dalvin and Miller Retention Committees.
Before starting on your next painting project, hurry into M&S True Value, downtown Tamaqua, and get a $5 instant savings on each gallon of durable, easy-care, ultra-premium interior paint. It offers excellent coverage and long-lasting durability, and you can be confident that you'll see great results since it's backed by a lifetime warranty. Flat is just $20.99, flat enamel $24.99, eggshell or satin just $24.49, or semi-gloss just $27.99 a gallon. With this great deal, you'll be tempted to paint every room in your house. Get just what you need for all your painting projects, including brushes, rollers, and drop cloths today. And remember, our experts are always on hand to answer questions and help you find the perfect color. M&S True Value, downtown Tamaqua. True Value, start right, start here. Consumer responsible for taxes, limit 5 gallons. See store for details. The offer ends this Monday, November 7th.
This is Steve Luketch. I'm proud to have served the people of Schuylkill County for 24 years as your clerk of courts. During that time, my office has collected and distributed more than $20 million in cost, fines, fees, and restitution to victims of crime. And in each of those 24 years, I have carefully managed my office budget, resulting in a surplus being returned to the general fund to benefit you, the taxpayers. On November the 8th, I ask for your vote and support to keep this experience working for you. Thank you.
Paid for by the friends of Steve Luketch.
At American Premium Coal Sales, buy freshly mined premium anthracite pea, buckwheat, nut, and rice coal. Pickup or delivery. MasterCard and Visa accepted. Open weekdays 7 till 4, Saturdays 8 till noon. Call 877-386-4987 for American Premium Coal Sales. Clampton Road, Tamaqua. Back once again, it's the Seafood Buffet at the Mahoning Valley Country Club, Friday, November 11th from 5 until 9:30. Also that night, the Wisecrackers Comedy Club night. Enjoy them individually, or just $40 per person, tax and gratuity included, gets you into both. The Mahoning Valley Country Club Seafood Buffet and Comedy Night, Friday, November 11th.
The latest Accu Weather forecast is brought to you by the Tire Pros Tamaqua. Snow tires now on sale. Schedule your checkup today to get your vehicle ready for winter. Your complete auto service center is the Tire Pros. Call 570-668-3212. Visit them online at TamaquaTirePros.com.
This is the AM 1410 WLSH AccuWeather forecast. Nothing but sunshine today. A cool day, but overall pretty nice. 51 the high. Tonight clear and cold, low 26. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Another beautiful afternoon, high 55. There could be some fog late tomorrow night into Monday morning. Otherwise, partly sunny Monday, and the warming trend continues. Monday's high 59, and a lot of places will get into the 60s Tuesday and Wednesday. With the AM 1410 WLSH AccuWeather forecast, I'm Eric Wilhelm.
An American original.
WLSH, Lanceford.
AM 1410.
If you'd like to join the discussion, call 570-645-3123 or toll free 1-800-326-9574. The Saturday Edition continues now.
And good morning. Welcome back to Saturday Edition. I'm your host, Carrie Down, 38 and sunny outside the WLSH studios. Just wanted to also say thank you so much for the residents and the people of Tamaqua and surrounding areas. About an hour ago, they marched to the American Legion on West Broad Street in honor of Veterans Day that is coming up Friday, November 11th. Please don't forget to thank a veteran. And we continue on with our election coverage. This time, the focus all morning has been the Carbon County Sheriff's seat. Joining me now is the Democratic incumbent, Sheriff Dwight Notestein. Good morning, Sheriff Notestein. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you this morning?
It is a pleasure and an honor to have you here in studio. Again, Election Day is Tuesday, November 8th. The polls open at 7 o'clock. Sheriff, you've got quite a list here that I have compiled for you this morning. We have had the pleasure of speaking to you in the past on AM 1410 WLSH, the last being at the Senior Expo that was held in Jim Thorpe. And I know that you proudly represented the Sheriff's Department and services that you offer to those residents in the county. As a recap real quick of your professional career in Carbon County, you have been serving as sheriff for the past 16 years. And you have streamlined spending over that close to two decade time. You are up against a Republican candidate who is very passionate and who has said in lack of a better term that you're not prepared and you are not suited for the job of Carbon County Sheriff. Let's start with that.
Well, that's absolutely wrong. I'm a people person. If anybody has ever seen me, I heard his comments about Tresco, and if people in Tresco don't know me, it's because they haven't been around. I've been all over the county, up and down. I support all the communities in the area. No matter what kind of function there is, I am normally there. And if they haven't read the newspaper, they certainly don't know who I am, because I'm in the newspaper all the time helping people.
Well, and that just kind of seems like... Is that something that really should stand out in the voters' mind, whether or not they know you personally? I mean, does anybody in a community really know who their sheriff is personally? Is that even humanly possible for you to be everywhere all the time?
No, it's really impossible. But it's more important to get out there and know people. I love to meet new people all the time. That's what this is all about for me. I'm out there for the people, working for the people all the time. It's interesting to know what's bothering them, what's happening. I understand the frustration they're going through with our government, but they're picking on the wrong people. They should be in Harrisburg and Washington, D.C. to straighten out these problems. It doesn't start in the courthouse.
Well, before we get into it real deep, let's talk about this alleged good old boy network that is it's been used quite a bit through this election. Are you guilty of being part of a good old boy network in Carbon County?
Does a football team actually work as good old boys because you work together? That's kind of irate to me. It's a slap in the mouth to the citizens of this county to believe that we work for the good old boys. It's not for the good old boys. It's for the people. That's what elections are about, the people. And we have been proven all the time that we are working for the people, not against them.
So over your past term as Carbon County Sheriff, talk about some of the changes that you have made to better serve the residents of the county.
Well, we have come up with a lot of programs that we take care of, and we tighten up security. We do now passports for people, which we didn't do before. We got a camera that did our gun permits and passports to make it easier for people to travel and move throughout the county. We have picked up on all our training as much as possible. I would love to spend as much time sending my deputies away to training, but they're all specialized in special training. I have firearm instructors. I have self-defense instructors. Everybody's got to be part of the team. I am just the captain of the team who makes those people work to make our team stronger. I have three officers that are just as qualified as I am to take over because I train them that way. I don't go to running off to schools. I could spend a lot of money on the county to go away to school to better myself, but I don't. I send out my deputies because they are doing the work and they take the responsibility and to train others.
And if you have a question or a comment for Sheriff Notestein, please give us a call this morning, 570-645-3123 or toll free 800-326 646-9574. We're going to take another quick break. Coming back, we're going to talk to the sheriff about some of the changes he would like to make if he is elected once again, Carbon County Sheriff, and also things that work, things that haven't worked in the sheriff's department. So we'll have that and more coming up, and your phone calls on Saturday edition. So stay tuned.
1410 WLSH.
Committee. Hi, I'm Tom Gerhardt.
And I'm Wayne Notstein.
We are running for Commissioner of Carbon County and are joining together for a better tomorrow here in Carbon County. We want to ensure we have a brighter future in our county, which we feel has been neglected and overlooked.
As your county commissioners, we promise we will work full-time and have an open-door policy to all residents. No more party politics or good old boys club. We ask you to join with us to bring about real change in Carbon County.
On November 8th, vote the team of Gerhardt and Notstein. Thank you.
Paid for by the Carbon County Republican Committee.
Vote Steve Armbruster for Carbon County Sheriff. If elected, I will restore the office of sheriff to its constitutionally mandated role, being that of the Chief County Protector of Civil Rights. I will institute a community outreach program where I will work with community members in efforts to resolve conflicts before enforcement measures become necessary. This will reduce the need to solve conflicts with punitive actions. These measures will adapt, grow, and change the Sheriff's Department to meet the needs of the citizenry. Where the office is now enforcement only, my plans include enforcement when necessary, working with and protecting the civil rights of the people always. This represents the new way that we will do things in Carbon County. Please see my website at armbruster4sheriff.com for more details.
Paid for by the Carbon County Republican Committee.
Come see the romance Jim Thorpe has to offer at the second annual Jim Thorpe Wedding Expo, Saturday, November 19th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the beautiful Mock Chunk Ballroom. Bridal fashion show at 1 p.m. Admission is free, but pre-register to win fabulous prizes at jtweddingexpo.com.
Hello, I'm Andrew Leibenguth, creator of TamaquaArea.com. Visit my website for events, photos, community information, and more. TamaquaArea.com, website for Tamaqua and surrounding communities.
This is the AM 1410 WLSH AccuWeather forecast. Plenty of sunshine this afternoon. We're heading up to 51 today. Tonight, clear and cold, back to the mid-20s. Tomorrow, not quite as chilly in the afternoon. It'll be a sunny, beautiful Sunday, high 55. Fog could form in the area tomorrow night, heading into Monday morning. Otherwise, Monday, a partly sunny day, mild afternoon, high 59. And the mild weather will continue right through midweek. With the AM 1410 WLSH AccuWeather forecast, I'm Eric Wilhelm.
If you'd like to join the discussion, call 570-645-3123 or toll free 1-800-326-9574. The Saturday edition continues now.
And we're up to 40 degrees, sunshine out there. Nice weekend in store for us. You're listening to Saturday edition. I'm your host, Carrie Down. Joining me in studio is the Carbon County Sheriff, incumbent, Dwight Notstein. We're going to go to the phone lines. Joe and Jim Thorpe has been holding on patiently. Joe, thank you so much for joining us on Saturday edition. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe. Would you have a question for the sheriff?
Yeah, actually, I have kind of a couple. I don't even know where to start. I'm disturbed about the No Good Old Boy Network in Carbon County, first of all, because I was married into it for years. I'd like to start with Sheriff Notstein. You took my firearms from me quite a while ago. You took them from me in violation of my Second Amendment rights, first of all. I've been going through this for 2 years. You assisted in pretty much destroying my life because I didn't want to remain part of that good old boy network. I have a very good attorney. We are going to be pursuing this. I'd like to know why, you know, you have the problem with following the Constitution. I'm very frustrated. You're lying to everyone.
Sheriff, do you have anything to comment on that? He's saying that you are violating people's constitutional rights to bear arms.
Well, that depends on his circumstances. If it was deemed by the judge to take those firearms, then the judge is violating his constitutional rights. I am following the orders of the Common Pleas Court and the laws of Pennsylvania that deems that I take his. There's only two circumstances in which you can take your firearms: if you are mistreating them, or if you're a mentally incompetent person. And I don't know what your case is without going over great detail. But the order came down from the judge, and the judge deemed that your gun be taken, so they were taken.
Joan, did you have another question?
Yeah, just secondly, as far as the good old boy network, I'm very disturbed about that. Like I said, I was married into it for years. It does exist. I'm not going to name names. It'll come out. I'd like to know if you really expect the people of Carbon County to believe that.
Well, I like to know what people think of what the good old boys are. If you get a team of football players on a team to go out there and play a football game, are they the good old boys or are they working as a team? And that's what Carbon County does. Our team as the good old boys, as you call them, we argue and have disagreements with things, and we have to settle them, but we work together for the betterment of the people. And to me, that isn't called old, good old boys. I do my job. I work hard at it. I come in early every day, and I stay late at night just for the people of Carbon County. I'm throughout this community all over. For you to call us good old boys, I have no idea where you're coming from when you say good old boys. Define good old boys.
Well, and Sheriff, let's back up for 1 second. Let's run through the process. When someone, as Joe had mentioned, he apparently had firearms that were confiscated by your department. It's not as if you run a database and say, you know what, I just don't like Joe. I'm going to go take his guns from him. There is a judicial process that happens. Explain how it starts in the court and how you receive the orders and then you execute the orders.
Okay, first of all, it normally comes down from the police department to whether you violated something and the gun should be confiscated. The next thing it does is go through the court system, and then the judge will deem whether or not you receive those guns back or not. We give you paperwork or paperwork to send into PICS, who does the instant check system. They check your background, and if they deny you, I have no just cause but to keep your firearms for you because you're in Pennsylvania system.
And that is one of, again, the duties and responsibilities of the county sheriff's office is to just follow through and execute those orders.
That's
correct?
Correct.
That's it.
Not
okay.
My call.
So that's bottom line. So Joe, if you're still listening out there in Jim Thorpe, if you feel again, if you have been violated, your constitutional rights have been violated, you need to go beyond just what the sheriff's office has done. You need to fully investigate the reasoning behind why you are not allowed to hold those firearms. I just wanted to make that clear because he made it sound as if, you know, you run someone's name and you're like, you know what, I just don't like you, Carrie. I'm going to take your firearms from you. That's not it. That's not it at all.
That does not happen in our office whatsoever.
All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We've got Dennis from Pike County on the program. Good morning.
Good morning. I have two pieces of information against this foreclosure. I have a Federal Housing Financial Agency report that there are 17 defendants on the illegal foreclosure of the houses, from GMAC to Bank of America to Countrywide to all of them. They're all under indictment by the feds. I have a court indictment from the state of Delaware against Mears for the illegal foreclosure of the houses. It's a 92-page legal brief. I have stopped my illegal foreclosure 7 times by taking the county, the judge, and everyone involved into federal court. It cost me $350. I have put RICO charges against the county sheriff, the judge, and the thing is, if they obeyed the law, it's like he's talking about an old boys club. I don't know about true about them, but in Pike County, we do have an old boys club. And I have all this information, and I have stopped them again, over and over again. I even got a letter from Freddie Mac that they don't own my mortgage. General Motors don't own my mortgage. U.S. Bank don't own my mortgage. The mortgage has been chopped up so many times that there are no owners. And if the sheriff just follows orders, it reminds me of the Nazis back in 1946 when they said, we were only following orders. So what it is a corrupt system. And I have all this information. I sent it to the other guy, and he's overwhelmed with this. You know what, Sheriff? You're doing wrong, and you could be sued. And if the people got up and had the nerve to sue you in federal court, he'll tie you up for a long, long time. Because I have stopped my foreclosure 7 times. And I'll tell you what, it's a goal across the whole country. And like I said, I could tie anybody up in court. I want to know if anyone gives you proof that there is no legal paper and the banks don't own that loan, how could you foreclose on somebody?
All right, Dennis, we're going to let the sheriff answer that question. First of all, before we get into this whole legal foreclosure, the sheriff's office, it's important to know that there are a lot of people, unfortunately, throughout the northeastern Pennsylvania region. They have lost their homes. due to the housing economy, due to the overall U.S. economy, things have happened to good people. We will say that. That is true. The foreclosing process is, in fact, a process. And I want you, Sheriff Notestein, I want you to please explain that first. Because, again, I think that there is a... I think because you are the last person, or your office is the last person who communicates with a homeowner who is, in fact, losing their home, you unfortunately have to take the brunt of a lot of things. It's a very emotional event when someone loses their home. It's nothing that you are happily serving them. But there is a process to this. It's not like you were randomly driving down, you know, Patterson Avenue saying, you know what, I want that house for us. I'm going to take that house. Explain that, please, so we can clarify that first.
First of all, a person has to take responsibility. They get notices right off the bat whether or not they're behind in a mortgage. You can't tell me that the person receiving those notices doesn't know that he didn't pay his last month's mortgage. The second thing all is that the attorneys file these for the banks after 30 days because they're starting to lose money. And there's about 60 mortgage foreclosures a month in Carbon County. That's about 40 to 50 less than most surrounding counties with Carbon County. After that process of you being served, you have your legal rights. It's given to you in black and white to go seek legal attorneys to help you. There are people who are out there to help you. But you have to understand, too, that if you don't pay your mortgages, the rest of the people do. The government bailouts with all these companies, that's just tax dollars being wasted. And so would mortgage foreclosures. If that would happen in Carbon County and the rest of the Carbon County people had to pick up your bill for paying for your house, we would be losing as well. So there is a procedure, and you have every right to appeal. You can take that to the court. You have had it continued, so the system is working. And there is help for people out there to get from housing lenders to give you money and support.
You know, this goes as far back to the lending organization, the bank. Whoever has acquired your mortgage, they are by law required to notify. And I don't know exact periods. I think all different lenders have different criteria. It is overseen by a housing board. They have to do that. And a banking commission. You have to notify these people. You have within, I believe you said, 30 days,
30 days.
To respond. There are options. If you are facing foreclosures, there are non-for-profit groups out there. There are other institutions who have offered people assistance. Count on a county level, on a state level, on a federal level. Since all this has happened, going back even before 2008, there have been programs in place to help people save their mortgages. Again, one of the roles of the sheriff's office is you must serve the foreclosure notice. Is that correct?
By Rule 400, we are legally bound to serve that paperwork and carry out the actions. And it's the responsibility of the person to take care of it, or at least file it with a judge to have it continued or dismissed. If it's in error of the bank, that is their problem. The sheriff is only doing their legal duty to perform that service.
Do you have a lot of issues when you have to serve those notices? Do you have a lot of people who are irate with the sheriff's department? Do they understand what their responsibility has been and that the communication has been made?
Absolutely. We get all kind of problems. They run into a lot of people. They'll have some people that are very nice about it. They understand. They got behind their bills. Somebody in the family had died. Divorces are probably one of the hardest ones because a young couple gets together and decided now they don't want to be married. And now who pays for that house? So it goes for mortgage foreclosure. Now, we have some houses that are in mortgage foreclosures over 8 years. So it's not that you can't continue those mortgage foreclosures. You can. But when the bank says enough is enough, it's time to close the door and sell that property because you can't catch up.
I want you to comment on this. Your opponent has said at the Lehigh 912 debate in Jim Thorpe that you are guilty of illegal sheriff's sales and illegal foreclosures in Carbon County. Is that in fact true? Do you do things that are illegal?
When he asked that question, I asked him later on at another debate and asked him what an illegal sale is. And he says he didn't know. He would have to look it up because there is no such thing as an illegal sale by the sheriff. It's done by the people who file it. It's done by the people who lend them the money, whether they made an error or didn't make an error, but it's not the sheriff's responsibility or problems. They have to abide by the law and follow what's going on with the court system.
And this is why it is wonderful to have the candidates on the program representing the different posts throughout Carbon County, because there is a process to all of this. And I think that as a voter, we need to take responsibility and fully understand what your role and your job is. So thank you so much for that. And to our callers, the lines are open. If you have a question, by all means, please give us a call locally, 570-645-3123, toll-free 800-326-9574. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We've got Mike, who's been waiting very patiently during that break. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And you have a question this morning.
Yeah, I actually had a comment on the illegal foreclosure situation. I actually did a Google search of illegal foreclosures. I just typed in the words illegal foreclosure. And the fact of the matter is there are so many examples of illegal foreclosures happening around the country that, frankly, they're too numerous to even mention within the scope of this show. All people have to do is go to Google or get on the Internet and just type in illegal foreclosures, and you'll see examples happening all over the country. I mean, I think I read in Massachusetts that there was courts are basically overturning foreclosures that have happened illegally, but in mass. I mean, I think they don't even know how to handle this situation. So that was the comment that I had. Also, a quick question. A couple of days ago, I received a letter in the mail from Dwight Nostein, so signed by Dwight Nostein, asking for me to vote for, you know, him and Getz and O'Gorick. And I just thought it was kind of interesting that he's asking for me to vote for him and not his brother. His brother, Wayne Nostein, is running on the Republican ticket for commissioner. And I just thought it was interesting that I got a letter from him asking for me to vote for Getz and O'Gorick and not his own brother. I don't know what to make of that, but maybe I can let him comment on that. So I'll let you go. Thank you very much for taking my question.
All right. Sheriff, do you want to even comment on that? Obviously, you are a registered Democrat. We have had your brother, Wayne Nostein, who is a Republican Carbon County Commissioner. What are your thoughts, or is that even worth commenting?
Well, it's a very good question, and my comment to that is, if we have three commissioner seats, why are we not allowed to vote for three people instead of having four people run and can only vote for two? The law needs to be changed where we can vote for somebody in another party so that we have the opportunity to know who we're running with. My family is my family, and they always come first. But I still have an obligation to the Democrat Party because they are the people supporting me. I have many Republican people supporting me, too. The family is a lot stronger than the Democrat Party can ever be. I come from a family of seven. My wife comes from a family of seven, too, besides ourselves. So we have a problem with that in our family. And obviously, somebody is not going to get my vote on the Democrat Party, but that's besides the point. My brother and I get along very well together when it comes to other activities, but we do not speak about politics.
Well, and I don't think that your family is as unique, one being a Democrat, one being a Republican. I don't think that you are setting a new trend here, is what I'm saying. I think that party affiliation and differences has spanned back to before, man was even aware that we had a two-party system. So I don't even know if that is a prudent question at this time. I just feel that, you know, each candidate is his own individual person who is running. Absolutely, go for it. And
I just want to say, if you look at the records, there's a lot of people that split their tickets in their household. One is Republican, one is Democrat. But they will sit down and discuss it, and sometimes they'll split their tickets and vote differently, and sometimes they will come to a conclusion that that's the better person. That's what America's all about. That's why I won those last elections, because of people crossing party lines, and that's why other people win. You vote for the person. You don't vote for the party.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that it really is a non-issue at this point, just because you are brothers. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Henry in Coaldale. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Better than I have been. I actually am going to thank the sheriff. My house ended up in foreclosure due to some serious illnesses. And when they came around to serve me, and that sort of thing. The sheriff himself gave me pertinent information to help me save my house. And as it turned out, just by the information I received from the sheriff's department, I have been able to save my house, and I'm back on my feet again.
Well, congratulations.
So I wanted to really thank the sheriff for the job he's doing.
Oh, well, that's fantastic, Henry. That's a great success story. And again, we don't always know the circumstances behind individuals and the loss of their home. It is not something that I'm sure the sheriff ever takes pleasure in, but it is great to hear that you have been able to rebound from that that devastating time. And we wish you the best, Henry.
Thank you.
Thank you so very much for the call. We appreciate that as well.
And thank the sheriff for me.
Thank you very much, Henry.
All right, take care. Again, yeah, that has got to be somewhat. Does it kind of frustrate you that people just go on the notion of, you know, again, you and your deputies are going out and you're just kind of like, you know, hey, I don't want you to have a gun, or hey, I don't think you should have your house. It's really not like that. There is a process.
Absolutely. We're not to get at anybody. My staff is very good at helping people. We will go out of our way to do it, but sometimes our hands are tied and cannot do that kind of process. Just like those mortgage foreclosures, we try to help people, but some people don't want to be helped. Some women are going out there and spending the paycheck the husband gave to pay the mortgage, and the husband doesn't know about it to the day they're knocking on his door to evict them. And the same thing with the husband. He's out there spending the money in the bar room, and the wife doesn't know that it's going on.
Right.
So it's a lack of communication in their own home.
Right. And I also think that it's not really the sheriff's department to settle domestic issues between couples and families and all that. If you have a question again for Sheriff Notestein, please give us a call, 570-645-3123, or toll-free 800-326-9574. Your opponent was on, made a comment, said that there is a feeling of entitlement to the sheriff's office, that you have given off that air that you are entitled to retain office of Carbon County Sheriff. You have served the people for close to two decades now. Do you feel that you are entitled to be reelected?
No, I am honored to serve the people. I'm voted by the people. The people are the ones that go to the poll. It's the majority that rules in this country, and the majority have chosen me to lead, and I don't know where he can say that I don't go out there and be visible and see with people. It's the other way around. He's not visible. I know many Armbrusters in the Carbon County area that doesn't even know him and wants to know where he came from. I've been asking for months and months, who is this gentleman running? And they said, well, he's some kind of distant relation, but we're not supporting him. We're supporting the sheriff. So I don't know where he's getting this information.
He also ran on the platform of perhaps a one or two term stint if elected as Carbon County Sheriff. You now, again, have been serving close to two decades. Do you believe that perhaps it is time after this last go-round? Is it time to give it up? Do you feel that no one person should be sitting in a particular seat for two decades?
No, I disagree with that, because some of the things cannot be achieved within that period of time. Sometimes it takes much longer for him to achieve what he wanted to, or to get his opponents ready to challenge the next challenger to come up for the next election. My job is to keep going and to serve the people in the best capacity that I can, because it's about the people, not me. It's not about that. If people don't want me, you have the right to vote me out, but I am for the people, and the people are the ones who elect me.
Well, let's go on to talk about some of the improvements that you have made in the sheriff's office, and how county residents are benefiting from these changes.
Well, we made a lot of improvements with our services. We no longer have to go out to houses time after time after time. We make arrangements for deputies to go out at night. We basically run a seven-hour shift, but we have two people on call at all times that either handle warrants or they go out and do night services to make it more convenient for those people for better services. A lot of people we call come in and turn themselves in to the sheriff's office. We simply use the telephone and notes to communicate with it. Sometimes it's just an error. We have We have great judges sitting on our bench to work with the sheriff's office who will take a prisoner. If we get somebody to turn themselves in, they will take the time in and say, I simply missed a hearing. I'm sorry. You know, this is what happened. He will let them people go. He won't send them to jail. Only if there's an act of warrant where they are sentenced to a time will he actually send them to jail. So they work very well with the sheriff's department.
Are you physically capable of carrying out the job as sheriff?
Absolutely.
Do you... A question that I had asked Mr. Armbruster, do you support expanding police powers for your sheriff's deputies? As an example, would you allow them to make arrests? Do you think that that would better streamline the forces in Carbon County?
Well, if he knew anything about the history of the sheriff's department, he would know that we fought Rural House Bill 2585 and 466 to get more authority. And I don't want to use the word power because that's a strong word. The word authority should be used. And all we simply wanted was the capability to go out and do what some of the police departments do. And he refrains to my education as a police officer. I didn't want to be a police officer. I wanted to be a sheriff because it's completely different. We actually have more education than they do. We have more schooling than they do. And also, so do the game commission people, and they make arrests too, but they have a lot more than what a police officer has.
Sheriff Notes, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We've got Bill from Summit Hill. Good morning. Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, hi, good morning. Is this Bill from Summit Hill?
Kerry, it's Bill, and it's also Bill O'Gorick. I'm Commissioner Candidate.
Well, good morning, Commissioner. How are you this morning?
Good morning to you. Now, I've been out campaigning, and I picked up a little bit of Steve Armbruster's part of the program and also a little bit of the sheriff's. I'm just getting to my home. But I felt, a need to call to say about some things about Dwight Notes. And how you doing, Sheriff, all right?
I'm fine, Bill.
Yeah. I want to say this to all your listeners, Kerry. There's no question that the most qualified person to be the sheriff of Carbon County is sitting right there in the studio with you. And in addition to that, he is a perfect gentleman and public servant, and I can tell you he's in that courthouse at 7:30 in the morning, and he's there often late at night. And I just heard that the gentleman from Tamaqua say, or from Coldell say, that he actually gave him advice and helped him, and that's the kind of service Dwight Notestein has provided for Carbon County. And I just want the people to know, just as one listener and caller and taxpayer and voter, that Dwight Notestein is by far the most qualified man to be the sheriff of Carbon County. I want to say this to the sheriff since he's there listening. Dwight, you've been a model of public service, and I appreciate that. I think you stand for a lot of the things that everybody on our ticket has stood for, being, you know, good, decent citizens who give of themselves and give of their time, in addition to knowing their job, doing their job, and delivering to the people. So I want to just felt like I wanted to say that because Dwight Notestein's a good, good man.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Commissioner O'Gara. We do appreciate that phone call as well. And you have worked with him for some time, correct, Sheriff?
Yes, I have. Even when he was back in the Pathonitary, we worked together, and I helped him when he moved on to Commissioner.
All right. We are going to go back to the phone lines once again. We've got Gene from Jim Thorpe. Good morning, Gene.
Hi. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, Kerry.
Morning.
Yes, it's interesting. I get in right after Mr. O'Gara. During the debate recently, Mr. Notestein was asked if he considers himself a statesman or a politician, and he said a servant of the people. But that was an interesting answer because he also stated that he has to follow all orders given, including orders from the commissioner that was just on the phone, rather than representing the people. Now, Mr. Notestein, you were sheriff back in 1994 when Sheriff Mack, who you publicly condemned, was also a sheriff. And you made a slanderous statement about him, and it was regarding the Brady Bill. You were an acting sheriff. And you had the choice of standing up for the rights of your citizens and serving the people, like you said, or going along with a program that would deprive citizens of their Second Amendment rights. Sheriff Mack chose to fight to the Supreme Court, where he beat the Clinton administration and stopped Brady Bill 3 and 4. So how do you explain your service to people when you had the opportunity on a national issue to do that and you neglected?
Sheriff?
Well, Mr. Duffy, since you were the one that went around and got petitions signed in my favor of running for sheriff, and then you turned around and brought in Sheriff Mack, and then you wanted me to do exactly what Sheriff Mack does. And Sheriff Mack is from Arizona, who simply came in and says, the Constitution of Pennsylvania is a lot harder and stronger than what he suggested is going on in Arizona. That's happening in Arizona. This is Pennsylvania. We are a common law with common sense. So what happens in Arizona is completely different.
You said you couldn't do the job of a sheriff because all the sheriffs in Pennsylvania don't have the same uniform. That sounded silly to me.
No, I'm speaking for Carbon County. I don't speak for the rest of the sheriffs in Pennsylvania, although I have many sheriffs who are supporting me and say that they would not recommend that Sheriff Mack even come to our conference to talk because they felt that he was not the person to be there and represent Pennsylvania and our Constitution.
There were 14 sheriffs out at Penn State who agree with Sheriff Mack's platform and who believes it's up to the sheriffs of the state to help save our state and our country. I mean, we have federal, state, and local governments run rampant. No one's following their oath of office. And Sheriff Mack and other sheriffs in the state who are current sheriffs believe that's the route we need to go in order to stop things like illegal foreclosures or and further encroachments on the Second Amendment. So how do you feel about that?
Well, again, you're only getting some of the people. You're talking 14 out of 67 sheriffs that feel different than what you're telling me. So there's no value to what you're saying because all the sheriffs I talk to say that I should be standing my ground for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, who I serve.
And Sheriff Notestein, as we move on and wrap up this morning, again, you are running for another term here in Carbon County. If you are reelected on Tuesday, what are some of the plans and visions you have for the sheriff's office?
Well, my vision is to keep training my people under me to take command. That's what the military kind of structure is, that when one falls, the next one can take its place. And that's what my goal has been all along. Like I said, I have three people that are trained to take my position at any time should something happen to me or something happen to them. Somebody can always do their job. Everybody's cross-trained in order for everything to succeed.
I'm going to steal a line from my sales manager here at WLSH. Could you give us a success story in 1 minute for Carbon County Sheriff's Office? Something that has just made you extremely proud.
Well, I'm proud of the fact that my people go out, and like Henry said on the phone, they go out of their way to help those people and do everything that's right. Nothing makes me more happier for my deputies to go back out there and have somebody threaten their lives and calm them down enough to understand what's going on. If people would just come to the sheriff's office and see how the sheriff's office really operates, they would understand the system. Many people do not come to the courthouse and even know how most of those offices work. So they don't understand. And once you understand, you will know how things work.
Do you have a website or information? I know I have contacted your office on numerous occasions. Would you like to give that information out if people would like to ask you further questions?
Well, if you need to call, you just call or fax or go online on www.carboncountycourts.com.
And it's right there at our fingertips. Sheriff Notestein, I want to thank you so much for coming in. Best of luck to you as well on Tuesday, and all the best to your wife at home.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for your time.